Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Colossians, the third chapter. How many people have a mind? Yes, it's a terrible thing to waste. Thank God we got a mind. Hallelujah. We got a brain. Amen. And we got to do something with it. We do. Of course, number one, we are spirit beings. We live in a body. We have a soul. We have these brains. We have these minds. And they're not just to do, our minds are not just to do their own thing. We're to control them. We're to do something with them. Now, a lot of folks don't realize that. A lot of folks just think, you know, well, the mind's just there. I mean, you know, whatever happens, happens. And you just kind of roll with it, you know. Everybody's mind has a mind of its own. And, you know, but no. You have a mind, and you're to do something with it. Here in Colossians chapter 3, he says in verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears or manifests, then you also will appear with him in glory. In the glory of God. Again, this isn't just talking about in the end when we actually leave our bodies and stand in the glory of God. But you and I are to walk in the glory of God now. The Bible says that when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. And the glory is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. And through the grace of God, God's glory, his awesomeness, has been freely bestowed upon you and I. So this is available to us. This is for us in Christ Jesus. Being a part of his body, the body of Christ, the glory of God belongs to us. Jesus said, if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, he will manifest himself to you. He'll manifest himself. Again, what's that? That is the glory of God. The manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. So he says, set your mind. Your mind has different settings. And you don't just let the thing just run on its own. It needs someone to govern it. It needs someone over it, in control of it, just like a lot of mechanical things in our world today. You know, you can put some things on cruise control, autopilot, but you can't keep it there indefinitely. Eventually, you've got to take control. Huh? You can set it on cruise control, your car, your vehicle, but you got to watch it, don't you? You got to watch over that. You might have to hit the brakes. You might have to do it. Of course, with technology, this message might be outdated in the next year because cars and everything, it might just start up for you, drive you there, take you back, talk to you, do everything with the way things are going. But right now, this is for the tape. This is 2016. And we still have to take control of our, what's it called? Cruise control. We still have to take control of our cruise control. Amen. So you still have to watch over that thing, see? You've got to set it. You've got to set it. Well, it's the same thing with your mind. Your mind is like a mechanical thing. And you have to put in what settings you want. You can't just let it roam on its own, try to figure things out on its own. You got to get over here to the Word of God. Find out. Find out from the manual on how to run life, how to run this machine that we've been given. How to run these bodies, how to run these minds. You got to get in there and find out what you're supposed to do with it. Well, here in the manual, it says, set your mind, set your temperature, set your air pressure at heaven. Set your mind on things above. That's the setting. That's the setting. You know, you don't just go over and just put what it, you know, how much air you feel like it would be good to put in your tire. Well, I'll just put a little extra in there today. I feel a little spicy. And so, see, you just keep going. Oh, you know, that tire can end up exploding. If you don't put enough in there, well, that can cause problems too. So you want to find out what you're supposed to, what setting the air pressure is supposed to be at. And then go ahead and do accordingly. Right? Now we know that about our vehicles. We know that. You can't just guess at these things. You know, the oil. How much oil are we supposed to put in there? You put that dipstick in there, you look at it, and you can tell if you got too much, too little. You can tell if you need an oil change. It looks pretty muddy. Right? We need to do an oil change. But you got to take care of, there's maintenance involved in these things. It's the same thing with your mind, with your body, with your emotions. It needs maintenance. It needs to be watched over. And you got to be diligent. You got to be on the watch. You got to be on guard. You can't just let these things go wherever they want to go. You can't let somebody else in the back seat reach forward and tell your mind what it should be doing. You don't want somebody in the back seat doing the settings on your cruise control, what speed it should be at, and all these things, do you? No, a pilot in an airplane wouldn't want passengers to come walking up and say, you know what I think? And they start messing around with the autopilot. I mean, you'd be no way, right? Get that guy out of there. That's exactly how you need to be about your mind. You need to be that watchful. You need to be that watchful because you're the one that's got to watch over your mind. You're the one that's responsible for it. And you can get yourself in a lot of trouble and injure a lot of people if you just let your mind do whatever. Whatever. Just let your mind just spin loose. You've got to make sure you bring it under control. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Another way to say that is set your mind on what God says in His Word. Because this is what heaven is saying. This is what heaven is doing. Because this Word reveals the heart of God. So find out in the Word what you're supposed to be doing, how you're supposed to be living your life. Look into the Word of God. Set your mind on what the Word of God is saying. Set your mind on what the Word is saying. Not what other people's opinions are. Not what the world's wisdom is saying. A lot of folks are following the wisdom of men. And there is a wisdom of men. But there's also a scripture that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. Seems right to men, but in the long run, it's the wrong way. It leads to death. So we don't want to just listen to the voices here on the earth. We want to listen to what is coming from heaven. We want to listen to what the Word of God is saying. And of course, listening to the Holy Spirit, He is going to always speak to our hearts in line with the Word of God, because this Word was inspired of the Holy Spirit. And He's not going to speak contrary to this Word. So we got to judge everything that we believe the Spirit of God is saying and leading us to do with the Word. Make sure it is in line with the Scriptures. That's setting your mind on things above. And as we talked about last time, There's a real science to your thought life. Thoughts are not immaterial, irrelevant, insignificant nothingness. Thoughts are real. Thoughts are real. They're not just psychological. They're physiological. They're physical. It's not when we talk about, well, it's just in your mind. That's a very real thing. Things aren't just in our mind. When we're talking about thoughts, thoughts are in everything. Thoughts affect everything about it. They're in our cells. They're in our bloodstream. They're in every part of our body. In fact, we are physically what we think. People talk about you are what you eat. A lot of people believe that. Well, I got another one for you. You are what you think. And a lot of what you eat is the result of how you think. So really, the thinking even comes before the eating. Thinking is even more important. Thoughts have substance to them. As important as it is to protect yourself from what you watch on a computer screen, it is equally as important to protect yourself from what you allow to be on your mind. There's a lot of things people bring into through their television set. People put on their computer screens. You know, they got settings, parental settings, and things to protect children from accessing things on the computer that wouldn't be good for them to access. And a lot of folks are very diligent about that. They're very protective of what comes on that computer screen, and you should be. How many people know there's a lot of pop-ups out there? There's a lot of things that pop up. There's a lot of things. The devil's always looking for an opportunity to throw something in your path to get you off, to cause you to stumble, trip you up, to attack your faith. And you've got to protect yourself from what you look at on that screen, that computer screen. But it's equally as important and even more important to watch what you allow to pop up in your mind. You got to watch what you're watching in your thoughts. Because thoughts are powerful. Like we said, thoughts affect every area of your life. They're not just some kind of nothingness, some kind of empty thing that really doesn't amount to anything. Thoughts are very real. And thoughts play a big role in how we're going to live our life. They play a big role in the quality of life that we live. So we have to be very, very watchful in our thought life. We have to watch about mental identity theft. You got to watch. The devil will try to get in there and he'll hack into your mind. A lot of folks talk about how the devil hacks into, you know, people hack into their computer. Well, I'm telling you, there's a professional hacker out there in the realm of the spirit. There's a hacker out there, and he wants to hack into your mind. Just like emails, all our thoughts are saved on a server somewhere. All our thoughts are saved on a server somewhere. That's why we got to watch what's coming through. We got to guard against thoughts that you wouldn't want other people to be able to access. Hello, somebody. You don't want your thoughts to be accessed by others. Some hacker. Oh, your thoughts suddenly are exposed to the world. And you think, it was just a thought. It was just a thought. It was just an email. It was just you. It became a part of you when you allowed it in, when you allowed to think it. No, this is over in Corinthians. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We're talking about the power of thoughts. This is part 3 in a series. And if you didn't hear the whole thing, go back, go online to our media page, download it, listen to it, go to the bookstore, order the CDs of it, and it'll help you. Help you get control of your mind, which is getting control of your life. Again, it's like getting control of the steering wheel. You don't want just anything driving your car, do you? Huh? You don't want your car just anybody grabbing the steering wheel and somebody that's never driven before, just jump behind the wheel. You want to make sure if you're in the vehicle that it's being driven correctly. Somebody responsible is driving that car. And never drink while you drive. Never drink. Never drink in the cares of this life. It'll intoxicate you. People are intoxicated with cares. They're intoxicated with worry. And then they're trying to drive their car. It's messing up their thoughts. If your thoughts get messed up, you're not going to be able to drive straight. You're not going to be able to think straight. You're not going to be able to think clearly. Come on, somebody. And you'll drive yourself right into a mess. Man, we got to guard our mind. Say it with me. Say, that devil is not going to get my mind. No way. No way. He's not going to get the steering wheel. He's not going to get a hold of the controls. He's not going to put his settings in there. I'm setting this thing. I'm in control of this thing. Don't let the devil have your mind. Guard it. Guard your thoughts by what you let come in. Don't just let anything come in there. And guard yourself. Make sure that you keep your mind clear, free of clutter, free of the devil's presence, the devil's hands. Don't let the devil have your mind. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Bible tells us exactly how to keep it out of his hands. 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So we're in these physical bodies. We live in a physical world. We don't war according to the physical. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Notice that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And again, to obey Christ is to obey his word. We understand Christ, his will for us, what he wants us to do, his commands, by knowing his word, knowing what his word, knowing what the Bible says, understanding the scriptures. So here is our warfare. Our warfare is in our minds. It's in the area of our thoughts. That's what the devil wants more than anything else from your life. He wants your mind. He wants your thoughts. Because if he can have your thoughts, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you going where he wants you to go, doing what he wants you to do. And even though what you're doing might not look all that evil or bad, if the devil can just keep you in a place of fruitlessness, if he can keep you in a place of spiritual stagnation, just not going anywhere, he'd be happy. Why? Because you would be his captive. And he's content to have you just as his captive. He would love to turn you into a soldier. He would love to send you out there to fight for him, to really go out there and do damage and be aggressive about it. There's a lot of people that are aggressive to do evil, aggressive to spread evil. And he likes that. He likes those kind of folks. But he'd be happy just to keep you in his prison camp as a captive through your thoughts, through your thought life. But you and I are not called to be captives. We're called to be more than conquerors. Come on. We're to operate as conquerors in this world, not as victims, not as captives of the devil. So how are we going to conquer? Got to get control of the mind. Got to get control of our thoughts. He who wins the battle of the mind wins. And that devil has been winning far too many battles in people's lives. It's time to rise up and recognize he is under our feet. And we are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. And we will not have the devil dictate to us who we are and how we're going to live our life. We're going to live our life according to the Lord Jesus, according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. How do we do it? Rise up with your weapons. Weapons of mass destruction. Your spiritual weapons. The weapons of the Word. The weapons of the Word. And verse 5 says, casting down arguments. Regular King James says, casting down imaginations. Again, where are imaginations? They're in the mind. What are they made up of? Thoughts. So he says, you got to cast down imaginations. So we see what the devil will try to do. He will come with what the Bible refers to in another place, vain imaginations. He will come with imaginations against your mind to get control of you, to take you captive, take your life captive. Put these worthless thoughts in your mind. Create these imaginations. What does the Bible tell us to do? Cast them down. Cast them down. Before you can cast the devil out, you gotta cast his imaginations down. And when you cast down his imaginations, that's resisting him. That's resisting his thoughts. And my Bible says that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you as in terror. That's what the Amplified Bible says. He'll flee from you as in terror. Whoo, man, because he'll realize he's up against somebody that's watching. Watching the controls. Watching what's going on. Because most people, they're la-la land. They're just letting thoughts come in and do havoc in their minds and hearts and soul. And most people are just idle at the controls. And the devil's having a heyday. He's holding high carnival in people's minds. But suddenly he comes across you, and you're not letting that in. You're not letting that in. You're not letting that get lodged in there. You cast it down. Cast down with what? With your weapons. What weapons? The Word. The Word. Now again, you know, you got to go back to the Master. Jesus, our example. Devil came to him and began to tempt him. There was Jesus. Hadn't eaten for 40 days and he was hungry. And the devil, the tempter, came to him and said to him, turn these stones to bread. Fresh, baked bread. And man, just by that time, Jesus is looking at the stone. He's hungry. And the moon is reflecting off the bread and it looks like butter. Dripping down the bread. And the devil saying, turn these stones to bread. And you know, with those words, there are images. Because words create images. Thoughts are made up of images. So Jesus is having images. But what does he do? Does he just sit there and ignore it? Does he just sit there and not do anything? No, you do that, you're going to get beaten up. Because the devil isn't going to stop. And he will win. He's very persuasive. And he'll push. He'll push his ways. He'll push his thoughts on you. So you can't just sit there and ignore it. Say, oh, it's just a thought. No, that's a weapon. It's a negative thought. It's an evil thought. It's a thought contrary to what God's telling me to do. It's a thought to try to move me into disobedience. Jesus is obeying the Father, doing what he's doing. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what he was doing. And the devil's trying to lure him out of obedience. But Jesus held his ground and he spoke. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the word, and the word is like a sword, right? Ephesians tells us that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's a spiritual sword against a spiritual enemy. And Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Apparently, that was enough. Instead of Jesus slicing bread, he's slicing the devil with the scriptures. Come on. Instead of giving into his flesh and imagining fresh baked bread and getting off on that, he just cast that down. Said, this isn't about bread. Yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah, we'll get to that. But I'm not going to sit here and fantasize about bread. I'm not going to sit there and just think on these things. Because what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to a lust that will drive him into disobedience. Right? So what does he do? He casts it down. With what? With the word of God. Our weapons are mighty in God. For what? For casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing. Now some people will say this is demons in high places. There's demons in high places over this city. And we got to bring them down. We got to bring the strong man down. Can't let that. There's a big devil in Louisville. And we got to bring him down. It doesn't matter how big the devil is in Louisville. If he can't get his big bad thoughts in your mind, he can't get you. He can't do nothing against you. He can't stop you. It's not about how big the devil is. It's how big are his thoughts in your mind. And if you don't allow his thoughts to grow and grow and grow and grow in your mind, then praise God, the devil is shut down. He is shut down. He is cast down. Praise God. He can't perch on your head anymore. Can you say, that's warfare. This never goes away. As long as you're here in the world, you know, until Jesus comes back and throws the devil in the lake of fire, you are in a battle. You're in a battle. But what's exciting is no weapon, no thought formed against you will prosper. Why? Because you're on the guard. Hallelujah. You're doing your due diligence. And you got help. You got the Holy Spirit empowering you there to bring to your remembrance the things that God has already shown you in the Word. He'll bring the Word to your remembrance, man, in a time of need. And by the power of the Word. You say, how could just speaking a word like that, it is written, how can just speaking God's Word stop the devil? How can it stop this evil attack against my life, against my mind? How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when you hook up with the Word, you have hooked up with the Holy Spirit. And His power will neutralize the devil's power in your life. Glory to God. So that's why it's so important to fill ourselves up with God's Word, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to help us understand that we are in a battle. And we must fight. Must fight the good fight of faith. And again, what's the fight of faith? It's this right here. It's casting down anything that's contrary to Christ. It's casting down doubt and unbelief, anything that's contrary to our faith. That's the fight. We're not sitting here wrestling with the devil. We're not trying to pull him down over our city. We're just knocking him down in our thought life. Knocking him down in our thought life. Hallelujah. Knocking them down in our thought life. And then he's got nothing over us. He's got nothing on us. He's got nothing in us. If he can't get his thoughts in you, he can't get anything in you. That was the key to Jesus' victory. Jesus was tempted at all points. Became like a man, just like you and I. Became an example for you and I to follow. And he stands there, I think it's in John 5. But he stands there somewhere, and he says to his disciples, he said, the ruler of this world is coming. This is right before he's going to the cross. The ruler of this world, that's the devil, he's coming. But he has nothing in me. Isn't that good? He's got nothing in me. He doesn't have his thoughts in me. I don't think on his thoughts. I set my mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Because that's where the devil's always going to bring you. He's always going to bring you to the earth. He's always going to bring you to the flesh. He's always going to try to make you overly conscious of fleshly things. Do you have an appetite? Yes. Do you have desires? Yes. Do you have needs? Yes. You have all these natural things? Absolutely. But we don't have to focus on these things. We can set our mind on heavenly things, on God's things, on his purpose for our life, knowing that all these other things are going to be added unto us. And as we set our mind on him, he's going to direct us through the affairs of life on how to handle things. But the devil just wants you conscious of things, 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 things. So that they begin to dominate your mind, dominate your emotions, so you're reacting to everything and you forget that there is, even is a God. I mean, you're not conscious of him. You're not aware of him. That's what the devil wants to create in our lives. So we got to cast down the imaginations and every high thing or high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, people throw their opinions. Opinions come to your mind. Thoughts come to your mind. You gotta recognize, well, what does the Bible say? We're not going to let that thought get out there ahead of God. We're not going to let those thoughts go higher than what the Word says. We're not going to let what the doctor says. Thank you, Mr. Doctor. That's great. Thank God for doctors. But we're not going to let his words, his thoughts, creating imaginations in our mind to be higher than God's thoughts. You keep thinking on what the doctor said and what the accountant said and what this one said and what that one said, and you just keep thinking on their thoughts, then those thoughts are going to exalt themselves higher above God's thoughts. So we can't let that happen. And you do that just by coming back and saying, well, what does the Word say about this? What does God say I should do about this? Lord, what do you say? That's a good question. Lord, what do you say? You know? It's like those folks, they were going through something and, you know, they had exhausted all their options. And finally, one guy turned to the other and he said, maybe we should pray. And the other guy said, has it come to that? Has it gotten that desperate? Has it gotten that bad? Now we got to go to praying? When praying should be at the top of the list of things to do. Come on. Come on. In all things, we're seeking the counsel of God. We're looking into what does God say about this? What does the Word say about this? Praise God. Let his opinion become your opinion. Thank God it can. Thank God it can. So he goes on, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now you think of captivity. Think of captivity. To take something captive. You know, in the natural, if you're in the military, you're in a battle, and you got some folks that, you got some enemies that you want to take captive, what do you got to do? Number one, you got to be aware they're there. You got to pursue them, right? You got to pursue them, and then you've got to lay hold of them. You got to lock them up. Set a guard over them. Well, that's what he says we're to do with our thoughts. We're to take them captive. Now, that tells me right there that some thoughts can't be banished from our thoughts, from our minds, from our thought life. They can't be banished. In other words, you can't just annihilate them. You can't just kill them and they're dead and they're gone forever. Some thoughts are alive in our life for the rest of our life. And I'm talking about not too good of thoughts. Negative thoughts. Thoughts of doubt and unbelief. Thoughts of discouragement. You'll have these things with you always. I wish there was a weapon that we could take and just annihilate them. Now, the day's coming when it's going to happen. You know, the Bible tells us that when Jesus came at his first coming, Colossians tells us that he disarmed principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He disarmed them. But at his second coming, he's going to destroy them, casting them into the lake of fire to be annihilated out of sight forever and ever and ever. So the day of annihilation is coming. But right now he's been disarmed. He's been handcuffed, chained in darkness. He's here. And sometimes he gets loose, you know. He's just running around in people's minds. He has freedom in people's minds. A lot of people give the devil who's bound in chains of darkness freedom in their thought life. Freedom to roam around. Freedom to carry out what he wants to carry out. How ridiculous. He's bound and he needs to stay bound in your life. How do you do it? Set a guard over him. Treat him as a captive. Come on. Treat him as a captive. Now again, a captive is someone that's there with you, you know. You've taken him captive. You got him. You haven't killed him, buried him, out of sight. He's there. You got to face him every day. Every day he's going to put his little cup outside the, rattle the cup. Ding, 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 ding. Food. Food. Right? You're there all the time. He's your prisoner. So you're always going to hear him rattling his cup up against the bars of his prison. You can't get rid of him. Some thoughts you can't get rid of. Don't be uptight about it. I can't stop the rattling in my mind. Relax. It's behind bars. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. You've taken it captive. How? By placing a guard over it, by placing something greater over it. What's that? That's the word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You're placing the word as a watchman over those thoughts. So those thoughts are there. You can't get rid of them, but don't despair because the word is keeping it under. Keeping it from being able to exalt itself and dominate your life. So don't be uptight about it. A lot of people get uptight. And see, that's why people just give in to the devil. If the devil can get them to think they're dirty because dirty thoughts go through their mind, dirty thoughts of unbelief, doubt, whatever, goes through their mind, then they just give in. I just can't do it anymore. I had one guy look at me years back and goes, I just quit. I can't do it anymore. And he went out and became a heathen. Years and years of following Jesus. I quit. I can't do it anymore. He was just, in his mind, he just figured he was a complete failure. He was a complete failure. Because he couldn't make the devil go away. He's not going to go away. So don't be uptight about that. That doesn't mean you're losing. Come on, get this. That doesn't mean you're losing. That doesn't mean you're a victim of his. He's your victim. He's your captive. Hallelujah. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. Devil takes his little tin can and he's rattling the bars. Putting thoughts out there. I like to answer those thoughts. I like to walk right by the little prison. Yes, you do. You just walk right by the little prison, the little cell that you have them in. And you answer those thoughts. Hallelujah. Devil says, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's no money. It's not there. How are you going to pay the bills? How are you going to get through this thing? How are you going to take care of that? Hey, that's his rattling. He's rattling. He wants you to go take out the keys and unlock it. Come over here. Tell me more. Because misery loves company. So the more miserable you get, the more you accept the devil's company. You unlock the door and he comes out. He puts his arms around you and he comforts you with all kinds of depressing things. That's what happens. That's what people do. They open it up. Just let the devil come. What you need to do is you throw the key away. You walk over to the bar and say, hey, what are you going to do? Jesus is coming back. He's got fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse. And you're in jail now, but you're going to the lake of fire. You're on death row, devil! He will retreat to the back of his cell. I guarantee you that. He will retreat to the back of his cell. He'll do it. This is real. I'm telling you, this is real. He's your captive. Come on, he's behind bars. Now just keep the guard over it. Keep the word over that captive. Keeping him down. Don't let him up and out. Keep him down. And he wants to have fun with you. He wants to turn your life, your mind into one big soap opera. Praise God, you can turn him into one big comedy. I'm telling you, I like comedy. Not the world's comedy. I like God comedy. Holy Ghost comedy. And so, you know, these thoughts come. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The joy of the Lord is my strength. You disturb some joy. It's yours, right? You have the joy of the Lord? You can activate it anytime you want. It's there. Just turn it on. How do you turn it on? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Just turn on the joy. It's that easy. You don't have to wait for something tingly to happen to you. You don't have to wait for tingles or something. Ooh. You don't do that. You just, ha, 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 ha. You can laugh right in the face of threats. Why? Because you know no weapon formed against you will prosper. So you quote the word, you laugh, you do all these kind of things. You just turn it into the comedy hour. And then the devil just regrets he ever messed with you. He regrets it because he doesn't like that. He is so full of pride, it just drives him. When you laugh, that just really hurts his ego. It really hurts his ego good. So laugh, that hurts his ego, speak the word, stick him. Have some fun with this. Can we have some fun with this? Come on, we're the winners. We're the occupying army here. We got control of this thing. But don't just let stuff run through your mind. You got to bring it into captivity. Bring it into the obedience of Christ. Bring it into the obedience of God's word. Bring every thought in line with what God says. With what God says. Hallelujah. And that's how we maintain peace of mind. Peace of mind. So let's cast down vain imaginations. Let's rule over with the Word of God all negative thoughts that come into our mind. And let's understand that this, we can do this. It's an ongoing thing, but it doesn't have to be a misery. Doesn't have to be a miserable experience. We can enjoy ourselves. I said we can enjoy ourselves. Stir up the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Speak the word of God confidently, knowing you got the victory. Devil will flee from you. It's not that hard to get control of our minds. Get control of our thought life. We can do it. I said we can do it. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.